The Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord," as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there were fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When he had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated, Father.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I heard it said once that a pastor preaches 3 sermons on a Sunday. It's the one that he writes or prepares, the one that he preaches, and then afterwards it's the one he wished he preached. To some extent, I think that that is true. I've been at home at plenty of times on a Sunday afternoon thinking, "Man, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have said that." And I've also thought, "Man, I don't think I should have said that." But you see, by then, it's too late. It happens from time to time in our own lives as well. We get angry or we get upset with somebody and we say something that later we wish we had not said. But by then it is too late. All we can do is tell ourselves that I'm never going to react that way again. And then what happens next? We do it probably within the next few days. Oftentimes, what is said is hurtful. And the only way to move on is through forgiveness from those who we have hurt by our words. All through the Lent and now Easter season, we have seen the disciples making lots of promises, promises to do one thing or another, but then not doing them at all. Remember, these men left everything behind to follow Jesus all over the area of Galilee and Jerusalem. And for whatever reason, Peter ends up sort of being the de facto leader of the group. And when he speaks, he often speaks for the group. No way, Lord, I will never let that happen to you. I will stand by you no matter what. I will even go to my death for you. His words were one thing, but his actions betrayed them. He falls asleep. He denies Jesus. He deserts him in the end. If anyone ever laid in their bed at night, wishing they had acted differently, wishing they had said something different, needing to be encouraged, forgiven, and restored, it was Peter. And our gracious Lord does just that. Last week in the upper room, the resurrected Jesus comes to the men and he brings them peace. He says, "Look at my hands. Look at my side. I died and rose just as the Father sent me to do. And now I am sending you." So as Jesus brings his peace, the men are overjoyed and everything seems to be back into its proper order. But as we open this week's gospel reading, we see Peter again, still broken, still hurting, unable to do anything right. From the Lord's first announcement of his upcoming death in Jerusalem, up until now, not much has gone right for Peter. Now he is on the seashore. Clearly, some time has passed from the upper room of last week, and we see Peter doing what he thinks he does best, fishing. And even that he's failing at. Failing because after all that the men had seen and had heard and had been taught by Jesus, Peter and the others are going on with their lives without him. Perhaps the failure to catch any fish was simply a picture of life without Jesus. Now, certainly they had not forgotten him. They still believed, but the need to pay the bills and to feed their families reasserts themselves. The men start living by their own rules again, doing things their way, not forgetting Jesus, but perhaps most of the rest of it. It's not uncommon. We know how that goes in our own lives. We've seen friends. We've seen family members falling away, going through life, forgetting about what's truly important, working for themselves to make comfortable lives, thinking it's the way that true happiness and satisfaction is found. But we know how it all ends, don't we? We ourselves, we get caught up in choosing directions for our own lives, perhaps without thinking much about the Lord's will for us, so caught up in what we think we need, in what we think we must do, the focus becomes inward. And it leads to a night of fishing without any fish. The more Peter worked, the more Peter tried, the more Peter failed. Until he hears and listens to the Lord. In his mercy, the risen Lord appears once again to the men. Because there seems to be some unfinished business here. And in particular, Peter, he says, "Cast your nets on the other side." Now, they don't really recognize him, but they're probably thinking, why not? Nothing else has worked all night. And when they do, they can't haul in all the fish. In other words, of the Lord's, coupled with the catch, this is what allows John to finally recognize that it's Jesus. And they quickly realize that all their actions are in vain without the blessings of the Lord. Imagine Peter standing there, looking at the fish, looking over at Jesus, the fish, Jesus, And then it comes to him. He realizes what he's done. It's a rather unique feeling when the law works on your heart and you come face to face with a committed sin. Peter knew he had done wrong. So did Jesus. But there was no stern lecture. There was no harsh words, no chastisement here. Rather, they sat and ate together, a fellowship meal and restoration with the risen Lord. Jesus sits down with the men and he assures them that the first call to discipleship still stands. And also, this eating together is a sign, a bond with the risen Lord that can never be broken. The men have once again become fishers of men. All of this is great news. But clearly, Peter is still hurting, still racked with guilt. Perhaps every time he closes his eyes, he can see Jesus staring right at him in the courtyard. So Jesus pulls Peter aside. Do you love me? Personally, one-on-one, Jesus gives Peter the chance to confess his love for the Lord again and again and again. A threefold confession that is a stunning reversal from that Good Friday. And in this confession, there is forgiveness. Jesus grants it by setting Peter back on track. And it's not fishing. It's feeding the sheep of Jesus. Perhaps this is also a call for our own confession. 8 years ago, we thought we had figured out how to make inroads in ministry on the Navy base. What we did was worthwhile, and it was appreciated by the sailors. After a few months, I had received a letter thanking the church for what we did for the sailors and for their families. And then it pretty much said, "Don't call us, we'll call you." And that was it. We were out. So for 8 years, I have not thought much about reaching back out to the Navy base. It's their loss, isn't it? I told myself. Today, I wish I had not said that. Well, we haven't been catching very many fish lately, have we? Perhaps it's time for our own confession, because this week the church received an email from the command chaplain at NAS Whidbey, inviting, quote, faith leaders to a presentation and to discuss how you may be able to support the needs of our military community. Do you love me? Of course we do. So perhaps through this, we, like Peter, can start catching fish and feeding sheep again. But only through confession and restoration that takes place at this rail. We come here this morning and we share a meal with our Lord that is our Lord. And in it, he forgives our sins, even the sin of all of those things we wish we hadn't said. And he also strengthens the bond we have with our Savior by faith that can never be broken. We, like Peter and all the rest of them, are broken disciples. And because of this, there will be times when we will be embarrassed, slow to act, or even afraid. But our risen Lord calls all broken disciples to come to him again and again and again, so that we may be filled with his word, forgiven, restored, and get us back on the track of being fishers of men and feeders of sheep. Amen.